how to know God's will and how to, they're simple points, but really helpful points in my own life. One of them is, it comes, I'm going to read 16. I forgot I was, had this in here. This is what I was reading in my devotional that caused me to change what I was going to do tonight to the discussion on experiencing God. So I'm going to just read through a few verses here in John, Gospel John. You might want to turn there in your Bible. You'll find this is a precious passage. Jesus is speaking to the followers just before the crucifixion, and he's telling them he's going away, and they don't like the idea. They don't like it one bit because it was different than what they thought was supposed to happen. Now, think about that in our own lives. Isn't that the way we are when our life isn't necessarily going in accordance to our plan? Sometimes we can kind of get back on our heels, as my wife would say. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your hearts. So they're really sad to hear that Jesus has told them he's going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, this is a truth that's applicable to, it applies to us today even though it was said 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So he's talking to them before the cross. He's not going to tell them any more at this point. And this is the passage, this one phrase or one chapter 16, verse 13. It's just half of the one verse stood out when I read it this morning. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's a promise for every one of us. The Spirit of God wants to take you from wherever you are and guide you in a life that will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And by the way, peace and purpose to you. That's a beautiful thing by going the way of the Lord. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, talking about Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ said, he will glorify him. For he will take of what is mine and depart it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit of God is teaching us truths. That's the point. That's a beautiful truth. He's teaching us points about Jesus. And it's in that we can find victory in our lives. Scripture must be our guide. That's why if you're wondering what to do, you ought to be looking and searching the Scripture for direction. And normally they come in very truth statements, principles, and truths that we can grab hold of and say, okay, I don't know if that'll work out, but he tells me to tell the truth, I'm going to tell the truth. He tells me to work hard. Well, I don't feel like working hard, but I'm going to work hard. Do you get the point? I mean, often it doesn't go the way our flesh wants to go. I think of Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Earlier in this whole chapter, Psalm 119, if you want to hear about the power of the word of God, turn to this longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible actually, and go to Psalms 119, I think of 9, 10, and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word? His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Those are good truths. May I not wander from the truths of the word of God. No matter what, I want to do what the word says. That's the point. Scripture must be our guide. There's many, many, many other passages in Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. God speaks to us in prayer. You know, for instance, I was praying about, Lord, help me understand where I should invest my time today. And which Which would be distractions that wouldn't necessarily be furthering your cause? And I was left with this truth after reading this scripture and saying, you know what? I'm just going to see how well people are willing to go the way of the word. And Lord, I am telling you, if they don't want to go the way of the word, then I am not very interested in doing much more than other than encourage them to go the way of the word. They might need a bus pass, but tough. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about very practical things. I'm going to help those that want to go God's way. And I'm going to not waste my time on others. And that's for all of us. That's for me personally. We ought to challenge one another, go God's way. God speaks to us in prayer. We ask him for help. Here's why I say that. Jeremiah 33:3 is one of the powerful ones. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Boy, I found that to be true. I also think of Philippians chapter 4. It says, be careful for nothing. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto him. And what will he do? You'll get the peace of God. Then he tells us to think right. Think in whatever things are true and just and righteous. And he will, if we do this, allow us to experience the God of peace. And then he goes right on into verse 9 and tells us, Paul was saying, what the stuff you've seen me do, I want you to do the same. It really isn't complicated, it's just not necessarily easy. Because we have really trained ourselves to do our own thing. We are addicts of ourselves, first and foremost. We're addicts of meeting our want. Even when we know it's bad for us. I was thinking about that, a little convicted when I was thinking about the truth of that. You meet the needs, we in the flesh, we just kind of meet our own needs. I know I need to be watching what I eat, and there I had an opportunity to have some ice cream and pie. Guess what I did? I ate the ice cream and pie. Dumbo. I mean, seriously. Can I not say no to the flesh? The answer is I can. But I need to call it for what it is. This isn't, I deserve it time. What would God want me to do? And in this case, it would be forget the pie and ice cream. Now, that's not necessarily the case for everybody, but it was for me at that point. The third point. I'm not able to read through chapter 6 and 7, but God speaks through circumstances. He really does. Joshua 6 and 7 are great examples of that. What do I mean by that? God speaks through circumstances. He was trying to teach Joshua and the people of Israel that if you do it my way, things will go well. I'll care for you. I will fight your battles. He literally says this. Well, what happens in chapter 6? He tells these people who aren't really soldiers to go up against a fortified city. And instead of attack it or have a night plan to go in and capture the tower and all of this stuff. No, he says, no, I just want you to march around the city. And at an appointed time, I want you to shout. Now, seriously, if you'd been told that's the way you're going to beat a fortified city, how comfortable would you feel with the plan? You say, I don't know about this, Lord. This doesn't seem quite right. Now, have you ever had times in your life where you kind of understood what God wanted you to do, and you said to yourself, I don't know if that'll work. I don't think that's going to come. Well, Joshua chapter 6 is a great reminder that it doesn't always have to make sense up here. If it's what God is telling us in his word and leading us in our lives and prompting us by the Spirit, we probably ought to do what God says and do it anyway. And that's where speaking the truth in court, that's where that comes in. We're working hard, even though we say, well, you know what, no one else is working hard. Work hard, because it's what God would want us to do. Don't return anger for anger. Is there something good about that, isn't it? It's something that feels good about when somebody's mean to you to be mean to them. But God says that's not his way. Instead, we're supposed to be kind. They are not to know us by our equivalent or even greater anger, but they are to know us by our love. That's radical, isn't it? You know, the man who has mistreated you, instead of yelling back and being violent with them, that you were just saying, you know what? God would not have us be this way. Soft answer, turneth away wrath. I don't mean to imply that you ought to go along with sin, but you just do it graciously and with real character that only comes from the Spirit of God working in us. What happens in Joshua 7 is fascinating, because now they go in and not attack against a fortified city, but a small city, and they should have had easy victory, but they did it their way and not God's way. And you know what happened to their mighty army? They were defeated. And God speaks to the church. Now there are, you know, the typical examples right here tonight. There is at least three times as many people that could have been here tonight, but for whatever reason chose not to. Now just think about it in light of this passage. Think about it for yourself. And maybe some are here because they have to, but they don't want to, but they have to. But let me just say what Scripture says about us gathering together. And again, I try to follow what Scripture says. I found it to work really well in my life. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. Talking about God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know what? We have a responsibility to one another to just do, you know, encourage people to do the right thing. And you know what? We as people need that. We really need that. Not just the kids need it, we need it. And that's what it's saying right there. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. In other words, if there is an opportunity to gather with other believers, you would be, and I would be, wise to do everything we can to gather. As is the manner of some. Notice the manner of some, not most. And not even all. But exhorting one another so much more as they see the day approaching. If you wanted to write, I didn't put it on the overhead, but if you wanted to read another passage that talks about the power of the church in life, mark down Ephesians chapter 4 and read 10 through like 20. Powerful truths. Ephesians chapter 4, 10 through 20. And it says we're to be exhorting one in the ways of God, so that we are equipped to do the work of God and to do it in the spirit of unity. Romans chapter 12 is all about us doing things together in such a way that it is distinct from the world and therefore magnetic to a world that is hurting.